It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm glad to be with you. So thankful for this opportunity we have to once again open up God's Word and to study together. I encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out, follow along with the things we're going to study. We spend time together in the book of God. We're going to be studying here in a moment from the book of 2 John, a short letter there that John wrote, often called a general epistle because it's more general in scope. It's not written to one particular person necessarily, but to a group of people. And so it's called that. But anyways, this letter from the Apostle John, 2 John, we're going to jump into that and start studying here in just a moment. Have with us today a special guest, and one we're glad to have with us today, our brother Mike Davis. And Mike preaches in Orleans, Indiana, and he preaches there. Of course, has been preaching there for a while now, and so glad.
7 years.
Wow, 7 years. So that's good. So he's glad he's with us today, and we have the opportunity to study and to talk about God's Word and to spend time making applications, because that's going to be the main thing. What does the Bible mean to me? What do these teachings have to do with me, with my life, and how can I make myself better? That's the key right there. So we're going to jump into our study, but Mike, we're so glad to have you here and appreciate you being willing to study with us for a little while here. At this time,
always glad to join you, Jared. I've told a lot of people, I've told you that you're kind of my son in the faith, and so I appreciate joining with you. You've got a good mind, good understanding of the scriptures. It makes for good study.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here, and glad we have this occasion, this time we can study and learn from the book of God. If you look here in 2 John, Mike, what interests me, of course, he says, as he writes this, John says that I love, he's talking to the elect lady, and there's discussion over whether this is a particular lady, a particular person, or from the standpoint of saying the church, and maybe some particular congregation he's interested in, because it says the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And so some would say, well, John's writing doesn't tell us the exact congregation, but maybe it's to a particular congregation rather than a person.
Stand.
Okay.
I used to take that stand, but Jared, the church doesn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
God does.
Yeah.
And so I'm fully convinced that this is a particular lady.
Yeah.
And we're not given her name, but she and her family, much perchance like Lydia and her household, are found to be elect. Now, in the beginning sentence here, he says the elder, and so he uses the apostleship as his authority, and maybe he was older. But he gives a great compliment to this woman because she's elect, elevated, selected, particular. And when you look at Christians, Peter and Paul both used the term elect, precious, elevated, it means exalted. And so this woman has a very special place in John's heart, as does her children. And then if you want to skip clear to verse 13, you find she has a sister with children, and who they also are identified as elect. So I'm fully convinced that this is indeed a individual, and rather than a congregation, simply because the church itself doesn't produce children called itself. The church doesn't have the children.
Yeah.
We are born of the water and of the spirit, but that makes us children of God, not children of the church.
Uh-huh. Well, like the old man said, about half my friends say that that's the so, and the other half of my friends say it's not so, and so I'm going to stand with my friends. And, but,
well, okay. Yeah, okay. But notice that regardless.
Yeah, I hear you.
He loves them in the truth. Yeah. It's not a matter of just saying, I love you. It's a place. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that means one certain one. Jesus is this certain one way, this certain one truth, this certain one life. And so if we look at this, and as you mentioned in your introduction, if we look at it as though John is writing to us, make this letter personal. Mm-hmm. He would say, the elder unto Mike Davis and his family, or the elder unto Jared Jacobs and his family.
That's right.
Whom I love in Christ, and not just me, but also all that have known Christ. Now that puts a unity to this that is very special to me. I've only preached at Caneyville once, but for a gospel meeting, but it didn't take but about 20 minutes being there that I just fell in love with everybody that's there. You've been here a time or two. I don't think you've ever preached here at Orleans, but you've been here with us. And we've been in enough places together, Jared, that we can honestly say that when we're among our brethren in Christ, that's a love that you can't exceed it. It's fascinating to know that no matter where you go on this earth, you can find God's children. That makes them brothers and sisters because they're in Christ, and you become family. That's exactly what this is talking about.
Oh, yes, that whom I love in the truth, that is major right there. That relationship just cannot be denied. No. And then whenever you think about in the truth or in Christ, because as you said, Christ and the truth are related, obviously, I am the truth, John 14:6. Mm-hmm. So then it comes back, well, how do I have that relationship? How do I get in to the truth, or how do I get into Christ?
And that's Galatians 3:27.
Yes.
As many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there again is a common feature. It's interesting if you look at physical families, Jared, and compare that in this letter, it's a very interesting thing to notice how we raise our children. I was talking to a fellow just yesterday about it, and I remember when my oldest was born. He and you are about the same age. And that was on a Tuesday night. There was a men's Bible study that my dad taught, and then later I taught it, and it was a bunch of guys there studying Bible very deeply. But after that was over on that Tuesday night, I looked at Dad, and Jeremy just been born about 2 hours previous to that, and I said, Dad, you've been a school teacher all these years. You wouldn't happen to have a manual around here that would help me to raise Jeremy. And he says, I thought you had a Bible. And that's the truth. Well, here's this elect lady, mm-hmm, raised and loved and obviously in the truth. She's in Christ by being baptized for the remission of her sins. That's the only way to enter Christ, Galatians 3:27. And then we can understand from that, because of her children, they must also have obeyed the gospel.
That's right.
And so John is writing to a whole family, whether it be congregation or, as I believe, a physical family here.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole of it, the entirety of it, are Christians, because he says, not just me. It's just not me that loves you in the truth. It's all them also that love the truth. And you can't love something without being a part of it. Now, people out in the world, let's just take a minute and deal with that. I deal with a lot of people around Orleans, Jared, that will tell me they love Christ, but they haven't obeyed the gospel. They've not even set foot inside the building here to listen to the gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is one of them. To hear the gospel, believe it, repent of sins, confess Christ, and be immersed. Those are commandments of Christ.
Yep.
If I love him, I don't question, well, I don't know whether I should be baptized or not. That might make Dad or Mom mad. My wife would get awful angry at me. I'd lose my job over that. Tell me, friends that are listening here in Radio Land, which of those things is more valuable than your soul in heaven? Which of those things would you rather have than eternity with God? And if you'd obey the gospel like this elect lady and her children did, then don't you think you'd stand a better opportunity of teaching your children, your wife, your husband, your friends, your co-workers, and whoever else? You can't teach them to serve God like this elect lady does without serving God yourself. So I'll just jump right on it, Jared. If folks say they love God, I want them to prove it and show me that they've kept his commandments.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's what Jesus makes very, very clear. That you need to, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love God, first John, I know we're in second, but 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. And so they're not hard to do. It's not difficult to do, but it's something that must be done. And
well,
so
if you look at verse 2, you look at verse 2 of this text. It's for the truth's sake that dwells in us and shall be with us forever. It's not for the sake of my soul alone. It's for the cause that Christ died. People say, well, Christ died for my sins and that fulfilled it all. No, it doesn't make any sense for Christ to die and you just say thank you. the way that you understand truth is to obey that truth.
That's it.
So these children and this elect lady, for the truth's sake, obeyed the gospel. And they allowed that truth to dwell in them. I love Colossians 3. I want that carved on my tombstone, the whole chapter if you want to. But especially Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We'll go back to the first of Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, that's baptism. Seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Yeah. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, notice verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. If this elect lady at 2 John did all this for the truth's sake, then it's no longer the elect lady that controls her life, it's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Paul says here. Christ, who is my life. Well, what did John love so much about this elect lady and her children? The truth that dwelled within her
and
her children.
Mm-hmm. That dwelled, to abide, to stay there. In other words, when you go back to 2 John here, and he says, the true sake which dwells in us, 2 John in verse number 2, then it's living there, abiding. Yes. It's not a one-time deal. It's not, well, I did this and I got it off my bucket list. It's not, well, I'll do this when it's convenient. When it's not convenient, I won't. And all the other excuses we might make. When the truth, he says, dwells in us, it's living, it's abiding, it's there, and I'm going to trust this truth. I'm going to trust this Lord, good or bad. Good or bad in life. Whatever the circumstances might be, whatever comes my way, and these folks in the first century had hardships. They had hard times. They had persecutions. They suffered all that, and then it meant something. Then to John, of course, it meant something to them, but it meant something to John when he looks at these folks and he says, listen here, elect lady, listen here, you folks, I see what's going on, and you're enduring and you're standing strong. That's good for you, but it's also an encouragement to me.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Too many times we want to give up, quit, stop. Or a lot of people don't even begin, kind of like what you said a moment ago. We'll make excuses for not being baptized all day long. Yeah. And so we don't even get started because we're too busy making excuses, worrying about what somebody's going to say, what's going to happen, what somebody's going to do. Whether or not it ever comes true is irrelevant. Yeah. It's the fact that I was worried about it, and that put a stop to it. And then there's others that whenever they become Christians, it's that way too.
Absolutely. And that, to you and me as gospel preachers, Jared, I don't know of anything more frustrating than that.
Mm-hmm.
We end up teaching people that they need to obey the gospel. And I've kind of changed on that. yes, they need to obey the gospel, but my teaching has gotten now to the point where I insist, just as at verse 2, it is a life that has to be lived. It's not a company or an organization to which you hold membership. It is a life. I used to make this statement, and I guess I'm going to have to come back to it. For years, I was a member of the 4-H in Washington County, Ohio, and I enjoyed that. I got different blue ribbons and all this and that and learned quite a bit. But, you know, 4-H was only interested in me as long as I attended the meetings and paid my dues. Mm. Well, if you make the Lord's church that way, then you have made it an organization instead of what it truly is, an organism. It is the body of Christ. Well, look at your own body. How often do you live in it? Once a week? Do you take a vacation from your body and say, no, I'm going to leave the body here and I'm going to go have a good time?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Hmm. Every Christian is a part of the body of Christ, and the body is alive and well. Which part of your body do you want to cut off and say, it needs to go away over here and just stay home and rest? Mm. You can't do that. Every member of the Lord's church needs to realize this is a life that we live. Mm. It is the life of Christ in me, and the old man of sin that used to control me is dead and buried. You don't want to resurrect him.
And let me tell you something else. Everybody paying attention to this and listening right now, examine yourself. Examine where it is that you go to church. Does the church there treat you like that?
Yes.
Where it's a number. You're a number. We're only interested if you show up or if you pay your dues. And I can tell you, well, and I can tell you about some folks that have come out of some churches that was just like that. And they said, they no more cared for me than nothing. But the minute I stopped sending in my envelope, then I got a phone call.
Yes, sir.
And you hadn't been there for months.
How much you remember said a little bit ago, and you need to take a break here in a little bit, I expect. But do you remember when I said how much I love the brethren down there at Caneyville?
Yeah.
I still get the emails from them once in a while, and I send the bulletin down to an old fellow that doesn't ever write back to me, but I keep telling you to tell Jerry hello. And I know that we're still good friends. I just know that. The fact is, if the church treats us, if the congregation of which you are part treats you like you need to be treated, then you're family to them. That's why this letter is oftentimes described as written to a congregation. And I can see that content to it. Every member of that congregation needs to know as much about each other as they know about themselves. That's called love. That's family. I know what my children are doing. I know what my grandchildren are doing. I know what my wife is doing. And they know what I'm doing because of communication. The church of our Lord is more important than my physical family. If I have a member sick, I need to make sure I can help them. If they're in need, I need to supply that need what I can. And the same is in reverse. If I get sick or in need, or most especially if we need encouraged spiritually or disciplined spiritually, just as I would do that in my physical family, look at the greater importance in the family of God. Galatians 6 talks about that.
Oh yeah.
So John's writing to this elect lady, and I get the impression, Jared, he's absolutely ecstatic with the way this woman has kept her family. They walk in truth. They live in truth. And all of these things, it's a marvelous compliment to this elect lady, but it all centers on her love for Christ, which is the same as love the truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's the key. I mean, really, that's the key to it all. You look around and find folks wondering about, you know, what's the purpose of life? What's meaning in life? I have no meaning in my life, and on and on and on. And you read a verse like this, you read a section here for 2 John 1 and 2, and you see here is the focus of life. Here's the thing, and it's the love of the truth, and it's dwelling in the truth, and there is truth. And it is not, just your opinion and my opinion. There is something that is objective. It is real. It's something they can live in and did live in. And it lived in them. And it made all the difference. And I'm going to tell you something. Even today, there's not a lot of folks that have this. There's not a lot of folks that are seeing this. and they need to get on board. You need to listen to what the Lord said. We need to listen, believe it, and obey it. Let me pause for a moment and remind you, this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 10:45 for morning worship, 5 in the afternoon for worship, and 7 on Wednesday, 7 p.m. for Bible study. Wednesday night, we'd love to see you. Love for you to come be with us. We meet right across the road from the Sacramento Bank. They're near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79, the four-way stop, Caneyville, Kentucky, in Grayson County. Love for you to come be with us at any and every time that you can. We'd love for you to ask your Bible questions. Bring an open Bible. Bring an open mind with you. And if you don't have a Bible, come on anyways, and we'll give you a Bible. And we'd just love to talk to you. Love for you to ask your Bible questions. Love for you to visit with us. Love to see you. And you're certainly welcome at any time that you can come and be with us. Of course, we have our website available, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. We have a Facebook page as well. Look up Caneyville Church of Christ on Facebook. You can like us, follow us, and you can send us messages, website. You can send us emails and things. We strive to keep that updated several times in the week, so there's always new material, new things to listen to, sermons, videos, things to read, all kinds of things are there for you to help you in your study and learning of God's Word. And like I said, you can communicate with us, contact us, call me, 589-4167. You can call me, you can text. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question on this subject or any other Bible-related subject, if you'd like to have a correspondence course, we'll set that up. Again, you can call me or text me. Give me your address. We will take care of that, send you a correspondence course absolutely free. And we don't solicit your money. We're soliciting time. We want you to study God's Word, and we're trying to get folks to do what the Lord says and to be what the Lord would make them, and we all might go to heaven one day when this life is over. And so that's what we need to remember. So let's jump back in here to 2 John, Mike, and we were talking about for the truth's sake, which dwells in us, and shall be with us forever, in verse number 2, and of course, John, just continuing that greeting, grace be with you, mercy, peace, from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, he says, in truth and love. So there it is again, in truth and love. And so, you just for a moment look at this, but grace be with you, and mercy, and peace. Those are the things we're trying to find today, aren't they? I mean, how many people are in this world, felt beat down, harmed, whether it's emotionally, physically. People they feel like there's no home, there's no safe place. You feel like there's no forgiveness. Maybe you're beat down with sin right now, folks. Maybe you just feel guilty and feel horrible about the things that you've done, and you think, well, there's no hope for me. There's no way around this. Listen to these words. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there is grace, there's mercy, and there's peace from God. Man can't provide that, but God can.
Well, notice at the end of the verse 2, Jared, he talks about truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those three elements, mercy, grace, mercy, or peace, is not a byproduct of truth and love? That's where these three elements are found, is in truth and love. I don't know of any greater description of love than Christ. And that's why we've emphasized down through this verse now, this elect lady and her children mm-hmm. were in this truth. Their love was in Christ. Where the difference between grace and mercy is interesting. Mercy is having compassion on seeing the need, but grace is the provision of that need. Peace is the result of receiving that need. So notice how John says God can provide your need, mm-hmm. the grace. God is aware of your need, mercy. And God gives the result of that need, which is peace. Now look at sin. I don't know of any greater element in the existence of mankind more disturbing and more frustrating and more irritating than sin.
Mm-hmm.
It will absolutely kill the soul. That troubles mankind, usually. If they recognize what sin is. Now, Jared, I'm not sure we're going to have enough time if we spent the rest of the week on this radio program to define recognize sin. Our world has so sugar-coated it and whitewashed it that nobody recognizes what sin is anymore. Drunkenness is now an illness. Homosexuality is a persuasion of life. And I read the other day that even pedophilia is going to have to now be considered a social disease rather than the sin it really is. Mankind's done everything they can to destroy the identity of sin because they don't want people to know what they're doing. When an individual recognizes what sin is, and quite frankly, John defined that too, didn't he? Yeah. Sin is transgression of the law. The law is Christ. If you're not obeying Christ, that's sin. Put whatever other label you want to on it, it's still sin. So a man is troubled. A family is troubled. They need that tranquility that can only be found in Christ. Well, Christ can provide it. Grace be with you. Mercy, God is aware of that need. Peace, he'll give you the result of all that grace and mercy. However, you have to be in love and in truth. And the only way to do that, Galatians 3:27, be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin.
You're back there again.
Yes,
and
sir.
Isn't it something then to see how the devil has done everything he can to convince us that baptism is not necessary? Because you think about it. Because whenever that happened and people said, well, you know, baptism's not necessary, there's no reason for it, whatever. Or, you know, well, it's a good thing to do if you want to do something, but you don't have to, and on and on. Well, you just lost your access to grace, to mercy, and to peace. It's just one thing. You're no longer, you cannot be in truth, that is, in relationship. You cannot have a relationship with love. God is love, 1 John 4 and verse number 8. So God is love, and so you don't have that either. Now look at what happens whenever we push God's plan out the window and look at all the consequences here just in this one statement. None of these things are possible if I'm not in a relationship with Christ.
That's exactly right.
And here, the devil has done a really good job. He's convinced us, and whenever he did that, down goes the rest of that. Down goes the rest of it. I mean, really, what do you have left? Not much. Just a certain fear for looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary, as the book of Hebrews tells us. That's it.
Well, I look at our nation, Jared. I've never been overseas. You've been over into Africa someplace, but I've never been overseas. I just look at what we have here. And I tell you, while so many people are saying we need to be missionaries here, there, and yonder, I think maybe it's time to evangelize the United States.
Yeah.
It's past time. Even in the city halfway between you and me, this Louisville, Kentucky, you look at every day, they report another murder. They report another dissension of some kind. Indianapolis, it's north of me, it's trying to be the next Chicago, I would say. It's just mankind doesn't care anymore. And the reason they don't care is because they don't have God. Socialism and all this bitterness is simply because they want to reject God and say that they can have a peaceful life. Show me one place on earth that doesn't have God and peace anyway. Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You take God away and you've automatically got anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all kinds of problems.
First Corinthians.
Put God in it and keep God's law in it, and you've got grace, mercy, and peace. You've got the tranquility you need.
1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace.
Yep.
And there it is. If you want peace, mercy, grace, all those things are possible. And I tell you what, this program has just slipped away from me. I've really enjoyed our time together, and I've enjoyed this study, and I hope it has been helpful to all those listening, and it's something that will encourage you and make you think. And if you have any questions at all on what we've said, call me, 589-4167. You can text me. Love to hear from you. Love to talk to you about these things. Let's get our lives right. Let's do what the Lord says. Be what the Bible makes us and live for Him every day. Tell you what, that's going to be the key, and that's the key to grace, mercy, and peace, and living in love and in truth. And that's what's got to happen. So thankful for this time, so thankful Mike could be with us today, and so thankful that we have this opportunity that we might be together and that we might learn from the Book of God. Appreciate it so much. Until next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.